Well, as we begin our youth service, I want to talk to you about a teenager who was born about 150 years ago, and she was called Amy. Some of you are called Amy here, and possibly weren't quite born 150 years ago, but 15 years ago. And this girl, Amy, was brought up in Malile, and she had Christian parents there, and as a 12-year-old or so, she was sent off to boarding school there. And all her life she'd been hearing God's word, but then, at about 15 or 16, she then came to the point where she said, you know what, this is true, I believe what this is saying, I believe Jesus is who he claims to be, and she gave her life to Christ. She decided from that age on that she was going to build her life on the rock of Jesus, rather than on other things, rather than on her reputation, rather than on a good job and a good career. She said, I'm going to build my life on Jesus, on God's word. And then tragedy came. 2 years later, her father died. So she's left as an orphan. She's semi-adopted by the Wilsons. But in those early days, just after coming to faith, she's seen in Belfast there was a great need to tell others about Jesus. A group of girls called the Shawleys that she went to and said, hey, you need to come to my Sunday school up in Belfast and we'll tell you all about Jesus. She then went on from there. She went to Japan to tell the Japanese all about Jesus as well. And then she went on from there and she went to India, and for 51 years she was in India telling women and children in particular, but the vulnerable of society, about Jesus. She built her life on something that would last. She built her life upon the rock so that whenever troubles came of her father passing away, of difficulties in Japan, difficulties in India, she knew that she would be able to stand. Her name was Amy Carmichael, probably one of the greatest missionary women of all time, or missionaries of all time. And she said this, when I consider the cross of Christ, how can anything I do be called a sacrifice? She was only able to say that because she was building her life upon the rock of God's word, and she knew exactly who she was, what Jesus had done for her, and she knew then that nothing she would do would be a sacrifice too great. As young people here this evening, I ask you a simple question. What are you building your life on? What are you building your life on? Are you building on your education, on your academic success, of how well you done in your AQE or your GCSEs, your A-levels, or what you get at university? Because if you are, that's all going to be very easy to crumble because somebody more clever is going to come along. Suddenly, you're going to be able to solve all the problems or write the best essays or produce the best work, and your world will crumble and you'll feel like a failure. I was watching a documentary the other day about Johnny Wilkinson, the England rugby fly half, and he used to mourn whenever he got 19 out of 20 in a spelling test. He's just driven by academics and succeeding in doing well, not just in the world of rugby, but in everything. And his world crumbled for days, for weeks. He still remembers what the word that he spelt wrong was, even 20 years later. Your world can crumble if it's based on that. If it's based on the approval of others, on your Instagram profile, on your Snapchat, on your Facebook, it can crumble down around you, because once you don't get the likes or the comments or the follows that you desire, then you can internally combust in your bedroom in front of your phone or your laptop. It happens so often. Or it can be achievement in sport or in music, and we all know what it is to just fall short or to get an injury at the wrong time, and all that we have been building our life on just crumbles at that point. I wonder also, what are you building your life on? That one day we're going to stand before God and he's going to ask us a question of what have we done with Jesus? God is going to see us face to face, and we're going to be judged one day. As teenagers, you're thinking, well, this is a bit heavy. But as you see all the years of your life potentially stretched out ahead of you, at the end of your life, you're going to face God one day. And he's going to ask you, why should I allow you into heaven? I wonder how you're going to answer him. You see, Jesus cared about what you're going to build your life on. If you're a teenager here today, Jesus and God cares about what you build your life on, because there are two options. Either you can build your house upon the rock, or you can build a house upon the sand, and we'll look at those two things. All these things, like the approval of others and academic success and achievements on and off the pitch or in the musical world, can all crumble, can all be like sand, and our whole house, our whole world can collapse. But there's another option. You see, Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 and 7, up to these verses, has delivered the most amazing sermon you have ever heard. Some of you think Johnny's sermons are quite good, but this was divinely brilliant. 150 verses, probably a summary of a lot of his teaching, but he pinpoints a lot of things in our lives and in our hearts, and in showing how he is a fulfillment of the Old Testament and things about forgiving others, turning the other cheek. 150 verses of majestic preaching. And here, these are the words at the end of it. Because there's a big crowd around Jesus up on the mountain. Christians and non-Christians gathered around. Those who follow Jesus and those who don't are gathered around. And Jesus finishes and says, well, you've all enjoyed these sermons, you've all enjoyed this teaching, but what are you going to do with it? I challenge you as young people this evening, as teenagers here, with your whole life right in front of you, what are you going to do with all of the Bible teaching that you have read, all of the Bible sermons that you have listened to, all that you've heard in SU, on camps in the summer? What are you going to do with all of that? Are you going to build your life upon that? Are you going to build your life upon something? Are you going to obey God's word over here? Or are you going to totally disobey it and just go ahead and live life your own way, hoping that somehow you're going to be okay? That is the question that Jesus asks. So Jesus asks this question in a really great way, where he tells a story about two guys, and the two guys are probably very similar, and they're both going to build a house, probably quite a similar house. It could nearly be like two teenagers today, two very similar teenagers today. And Jesus says, your life is like the house. So whenever Jesus talks about building a house, he's saying, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to build your life on? So the two people Jesus is probably talking about here could be very similar. Maybe just like two teenagers today. They just wear the same clothes. They all want to be independent. They all want to be their own person, but they all have to wear dress like everybody else. Two teenagers who wear the same clothes. They go to the same youth group or the same SU. They do the same GCSEs. They get similar grades. They go to the same universities. They maybe even as adults go to the same church. They maybe even marry similar people as well. They buy a similar house. They get similar jobs. So on the outside, their whole world looks identical to each other. And that's how these two houses look. But the big difference is once the storm hits, once the wind and the waves come, once they get battered by life, once sickness comes, once a redundancy comes, once problem comes, one house stands, one person stands, and the other crumbles. And ultimately, as we go through this passage, we're going to see that the wind and waves are also talking about that final day when we see God face to face, when we face his judgment, where he says, well, are you innocent or guilty? Why should I let you into heaven? What have you done with Jesus? One commentator said about this, that the wind and waves can represent the hardships in this life and also God's final judgment. So that's what we're looking at. So the first point I have as we consider this, what are you building your life on, is that storms are coming. Storms are coming. There's a temptation today, I think, to think, well, life's all going to be fine, and we can wrap you as young people up in cotton wool, and we'll just guide you safely through every stage of your life, and we won't allow the realities of life to hit you. But can I assure you, young person, young adult here this evening, a tornado is going to hit. We are going to get battered in this life. Something is going to happen to each of us that's going to be a real curveball. That's going to throw us off course. That's really going to cause us to question things, to question whether God loves us, to question whether he is good, and to question whether we should follow him. See, in Jesus' days, the wind and the rays were the biggest source of power out there. There's a real fear of this. Be like a nuclear weapon today. But Jesus knew that the wind and the rain was going to come and the water was going to rise up. And for us, it could be any amount of different things. It could be diagnosed with a physical illness as a teenager. It could be being rejected by the guy or the girl that you really like and they end up with your best friend. It could be questioning your identity. It could be struggling with your feelings or your attractions or your addictions. It could be realizing that the body isn't the size or shape that you would like it to be, and it doesn't quite look how it does on Instagram and the magazines and the movies. It could be you're longing for the approval of others, and this causes a great anxiety just to overwhelm you. It could be that you're feeling any one of these, even today as you sit here. Or it could be a whole combination of these things: health issues, relational issues, identity issues, financial issues. And Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. So this evening doesn't start off too positive. It says that you will have trouble. There are a storm coming. In this life, you're going to get battered. Maybe you haven't yet, but the wind and the waves are coming. And ultimately, too, as we've been saying, there's a day coming whenever we're going to see God face to face. And that day is a fearful day if we don't know Christ, but it's a day that we can look forward to if we do know Christ. So outwardly, you may look the same as all your friends. Outwardly, you may go to all the same groups and youth groups and church services and youth service. You could even sing up here. You can even testify up here. You can look very like everybody else. But the two people Jesus talks about are very different. And we're going to see about the wise man. He built his house upon a rock. He obeyed God's word. And the second point is this evening, I encourage you to be wise. Obey God's word. Be wise. Obey God's word. And the third will be, don't be a fool and ignore God's word. The first one, be wise. Obey God's word. Can you see the thing that the wise man has to do here? Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them. Firstly, we have to hear the words of Jesus. And as a teenager today, can I encourage you to hear the words of Jesus, to hear the word of God? Because there's going to be lots of voices coming at you in this world. There's going to be voices that saying you have to dress or act a certain way. There's going to be voices saying that you're worthless, you're ugly, you're stupid. There's going to be voices that say follow your heart. If you feel good, just go ahead and do it. But we don't realize that our heart, all sorts of evil comes out of our heart and can lead us into all sorts of trouble. Forces out there saying that there is no God, that Christianity is oppressive, it's old-fashioned, it's all fairy tales. Let me tell you how evolution or some other theory can answer their big questions. All these forces you are bombarded with today, young people. It's crucial then that we hear God's voice. In the buzz of all these other voices. We need to hear God's voice. And it's difficult to hear God's voice today because we can be so often listening to other things, listening to constant Spotify, playing a new video game, addiction to YouTube, addiction to box sets, all saying, don't worry about your Bible. You can just get away with not doing that. Sure, you'll be fine. You're doing okay. You're similar to other people. You should just go to church as little as you can. You know, once on a Sunday's fine. Just keep the parents happy. Don't get too serious about hearing and obeying God's word. But it's crucial today, you people, that you take every opportunity you can to hear God's voice. You're asking, well, Keith, how do I do that? Well, very simply, read your Bible at home. Use some of the things that Brian has been suggested. Get a good daily Bible reading plan. Use something on your phone even. Memorize some verses in your Bible. Listen to the audio Bible on your phone. You all have phones, you all have headphones. Listen to God's word through that. Listen or watch sermons. Really, do whatever you can to get God's word into you. Squeeze it in, push it in, whatever way you can. Go to summer camps, church groups, SUs, youth groups, as many as you can. Talk to older Christians, ask them about God's word. Help them to ask them to help you to understand it. And come to church as often as we're open. You have such a privilege to be able to come and to hear God's word. You see, whenever we're doing it, we're actually tuning into the very voice of God, the one who created everything, the one who wants to speak right into your situation. That's the result. It isn't doing it just because you have to do it, or but it's because we want to hear that God's voice in a world of many other voices. So firstly, we have to hear God's voice, but we also then have to do it. We have to put it into practice. We have to apply it. Growing up during a lot of the Christmas periods, I often got a book, and it often began how to, and then finished how to play better golf, how to revise for your exams. I see ones how to cook, how to sew. All these books I haven't really read in great detail. I've looked at some of it, but these books are absolutely useless if you just read it and go away and don't do anything about it. So years on, because I haven't applied these principles of how to cook, I still can't cook because I didn't read and apply what the golf book said about your backswing is everything. And I still swing so quick and I'm still through the ball before I should be, and it goes all shapes and directions. But if we apply it, that then helps us. And it's the same as we come to God's word, as you are in church, as you are in youth group. If we don't apply what we're hearing, then it's going to be useless for us. We have to put it into practice. Whenever Jesus talks about forgiving others, whenever he starts to say about loving our enemies, whenever we read about gossiping is bad, we need to stop doing these things. When Jesus talks about loving our neighbor as ourselves, we need to work through what this is as young people. You see, we also need to realize ultimately what God says in this word, that from Genesis to Revelation is a grand sweep of God saying that we have rebelled against him and that we need to come back to him. So before everything else, we need to do what the Bible says and repent and believe. Because Jesus didn't come just to call the righteous, he came to call sinners to repent. And we're going to build our life upon the rock, to build our life upon God's word. The first and the most important thing that we can do is turn to him, seek his forgiveness, and go on from there. Maybe you're a young person here this evening. I've been coming to church, you've been doing the church thing for years, and you do your Bible reading at home, but you've never actually come to Jesus in repentance. You've never sought his forgiveness for things that you have done wrong. as we ask this question of what will you build your life on, this is the beginning of building your life on God and his word, to put your faith and trust in Jesus. I encourage you to do that. The Bible, or one commentator said, the faithful disciples are those who keep on coming, keep on hearing, and keep on doing God's word. I wonder, young people this evening, older folks this evening, are we going to keep on coming? Are we going to keep on hearing and keep on doing God's word? Because that is what Jesus says a wise man is. And third, they say, don't be a fool, ignoring God's word. You see, in verse 26 and 27, it says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Growing up, I used to watch a program called the A-Team at Saturday lunchtime, and the B.A. Baracus used to call Murdoch a crazy fool right throughout the shows. As always, Murdoch, you're a crazy fool. But B.A. Baracus wasn't the first person to call somebody a fool. Jesus here is saying that the fool is somebody who comes in to hear God's word, who comes to church to hear sermons, who comes to youth group, who knows a lot about God's word but doesn't obey it. Jesus here calls them a fool. You see, this is the alternative to obeying God's word. It's just to totally ignore it and say, well, I'm just going to go and live life my way. I'm not going to really take that thing seriously about repentance. I'm not really going to become a child of God. I don't want to know that my eternal destination is secure. I don't want to know that my identity in Christ is bigger than the identity issues I'll face in this world. And I don't want to know the love of God that is greater than any immoral sexual love that we can have outside of marriage or that we could desire as teenagers. It's interesting as well that Jesus wasn't the first person to call somebody a fool, because in the psalmist, says in Psalms, it says, the fool says, there is no God. And I believe as we say no to obeying God's word, we're really saying no to God. Somebody said, the fool says, no God. Can I urge you as young people here this evening not to say no to God or to his word, but to follow him and to put your life and your foundation and your roots deep into God's word, because the winds and the waves are coming. You're going to get battered. You're going to get disappointments as you go up into your teenage years, into your young adult years, and into your fully fledged adult years as well. So just as we close, there's a great description of God's word from the Gideons, and I want to just encourage you to get sucked into God's word, to hear God's word, but also to obey it as well. And then the band will come up. Here's what God's word is. The Bible, God's word, contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort and cheer you. It's a traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here too, heaven is open and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good is its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. Is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It's given you in life, will be opened at judgment, and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. Can I encourage you, as you hear God's word, to obey it? Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a man who builds his house on the rock. Matthew 7:24. Let's pray. Father, we pray that as we consider our lives, as we consider all that is ahead of us, all that we are currently facing, that you would help us to consider what we're building our life on. Help us to consider how we are reacting to your word. Are we hearing it, and then are we doing it? Are we putting it into practice? Would you help us to be hearers and doers as young people, young adults, those at different ages and stages of life, so that whenever the wind and the rave comes, that we would be firm in you, and that we would be able to withstand all that life does throw at us. In Jesus' name, amen.